Genesis chapter 15. God makes a covenant with Abraham. Now, a covenant is a set of promises. After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield and your very great reward." Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me since I go childless? And he who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." So God had told Abraham he was going to have a seed. And a seed is a son, but it can also mean lots and lots of children. And so the one special seed of Abraham, we read in the New Testament, is Jesus. And as many of us as have been baptized into Jesus, we become the many children of Abraham. We become the seed. And this is where all these wonderful things begin. So Abraham said, "Behold, to me you've given no seed." And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man Eliezer will not be your heir, but he who will come out of your own body will be your heir." Yahweh brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the sky and count the stars, if you're able to count them." Do you think you can count how many stars there are?
No.
That's right.
Yes, no.
Because the more you think you can count them, you start to see more and more. That's right. There's too many to count. So, he said to Abraham, "So shall your seed be." He believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. Now, it means that God looked at Abraham as if he was righteous, even though he wasn't, because he believed. And so, in the New Testament, often quoted, that Abraham believed in God, and he was counted as righteous. He was justified, or counted right, by faith. God said to him further, "I am Yahweh, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give you this land to inherit it." Now, God had told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and we saw that actually he didn't really do that. His father took him out and they went to live in Haran, and then all the way through it was God who really worked to bring about Abraham's obedience. So it's all of grace. That is an undeserved gift. And Abraham said, "Lord Yahweh, how will I know that I will inherit it?" So although he was faithful, he did believe, his faith was not 100%, because he says to God, "You've told me that I'm going to inherit this land, but how shall I know?" God said to him, "Bring me here a heifer of 3 years old and a female goat of 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abraham brought him all of these and put each half opposite the other, but he didn't divide the birds. And then the birds of prey, that's like eagles, came, and vultures. They came down on the carcasses, and Abraham drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. Now terror and great darkness fell on him. He said to Abraham, "Know for sure that your seed will live as foreigners in a land that is not theirs and will serve them. They'll afflict them 400 years. That was a prophecy of how the seed of Abraham, Hebrews, would go and live in Egypt for 400 years. "I will also judge that nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with great wealth. But you, Abraham, will go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried in a good old age. In the fourth generation they will come here again, for the sin of the Amorites is not yet full." It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. In that day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "To your seed I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." So the idea of passing between...
There's a lot of people.
That's right, there are the people who then lived in the land of Canaan. But the idea of passing between the pieces was as if to say, if I don't keep this covenant, this promise, may I be cut in half. And God promises this to Abraham, and he says, look, I am serious. But he doesn't actually ask Abraham to really do anything. Abraham just has to believe. So it's all on God's side. He's trying by all means to persuade Abraham that, look, I promised by myself, as Paul says, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, that I really will give you the kingdom that I'm promising you. So there we are in our little weak faith, thinking, I wonder if it's all really true. Will God really give this to me, this everlasting life, this place in the kingdom? And the fact we have questions and doubts doesn't mean that we don't believe, because Abraham also believed, but then he was like the man who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He believed, but then he says to God, how do I know that actually this is going to be true? That's what I'm a bit like. We're all a bit like that. And so we shouldn't think that we are too weak to believe. And the wonderful thing is that Abraham did believe, although he was weak, and God made up for the rest. He counted him as if he was righteous. And so no wonder these wonderful things are at the very basis of the gospel, the good news that we read about in the New Testament. This is why Paul says the gospel was preached to Abraham.